Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We live in an anxious age, lots of worry, insecurity, uncertainty. We're so geared to fast-forwarding to the future and worrying about it. But my next guest on Open House says 92% of the things we worry about will never happen. I'm keen to know what happens to the other 8%. Kent Crockett is the founder of Making Life Count Ministries and the best-selling author. His latest project is The Sure Cure for Worry, learning to trust God no matter what happens. In the words of one reviewer, if you want to get rid of your worry, you need to read this book. Kent Crockett, welcome to Open House.
It's good to be with you, Lee.
Very much look forward to this conversation, Kent. Of all the things you could write about, why do you write about worry?
I think that's probably the biggest problem we have in our world. Everybody worries to some degree. You know, we have this time machine in our mind. We can't travel to the future or the past, but in our mind we can. Some people do it through their memories. They go to the past and they start thinking about things there. But we can also, you know, go into the future. And what people do in their minds is they go into the future and then they start imagining all these different things that are going to happen, and they're almost always bad. And what we do when we worry is we just leave God completely out of the picture.
Have you been much of a worrier yourself?
When I was younger, I really did worry about a lot of things, but now that I'm almost 61 years old, I've found that most of the things that I worried about never did ever happen. What I found, the other 8% that people always ask about, well, what about those other 8%? They're either not going to be as bad as you think they are, or God will give you the grace to get through them. And that takes care of 100% of our problems, really, if you think about it. And I just trust God for tomorrow.
From your reading of our world, is the age in which we live more and more anxious, do you think?
In the world that we're living in right now, there is more stress and more problems, I believe, than ever in history. And so because of the technology that we have, I think a lot of people do think about the future more, and they begin to worry because things are changing so quickly. You know, years ago, they didn't change like they're doing now, and change is what brings worry for a lot of people.
One thing I've often wondered about as a person who's worked in the news business for decades, because there's so much news around today, and because most of it's bad, is that also a major contributor to our anxieties about the world, do you think?
Oh, yeah, because we look around and we see all kinds of things happening and wars, and Jesus even talked about that in the book of Matthew. He said, you know, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and then everybody forgets what he said next. He said, see to it that you are not frightened.
Yes.
So he's telling his followers, we need to put our trust in him. Even when things seem to be falling apart around us, God is still in control, and he'll take care of it. So we need to put our trust in him, and that's really what the cure of worry is.
Yes. You've actually come up with a definition of worry. Can you take us through your thinking there?
Well, worry is fear of the future. We don't worry about things that happened in the past. We only think about things that might happen tomorrow. And so what we do is we assume that bad things are going to happen. And so, like I say, we get in this time machine, we travel in the future, and we start imagining all of the things that could go wrong, and we leave God completely out of the picture. And so really what worry is, it's unbelief. It's failing to put our trust in God and the promises that he's told us that he will take care of us in the future.
One of the great challenges about worry is that the more we worry, the more we worry. So what's your, quote, sure cure for it? Because that's a big call to promise a sure cure for worry.
Yeah, the sure cure for worry is to put our trust in God, and we have to believe that he's in control. If you do not believe that God is in control, then you're never going to be able to trust him. And David said this in Psalm 56. He said, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. When you put something somewhere, you transfer it from one place to another. For example, when you fill up your car, you take the gasoline out of the pump and you transfer it into your car. When you go to the bank and you take money out, you transfer it out and put it in your wallet or in your purse, so you move it from one place to another. So what happens when we worry is we are usually trusting in ourselves or our circumstances or something else. And what David said to do is that we've got to transfer our trust to God. And that's really the key of learning, because some people will pray and thinking that prayer will get rid of it, but if you don't transfer your trust to God first, you can pray all you want, and you're still going to end up worrying.
So the two necessities you suggest are, one, believing that God is in control, and second, learning to let him guide you. How do you learn that?
First of all, you do have to believe that God is in control. And in one of the chapters in my book, I talk about fulfilled Bible prophecies. And that proves that God knows the future and that he controls the future. Otherwise, he couldn't tell the prophets that certain things would happen hundreds of years in advance and then bring it to pass. So there are hundreds of prophecies in the Bible that have come to pass. And so we know that that means that God is in control of the world. And if God can control the world to bring prophecies to pass, then surely we can trust him to guide our lives as well. So that's the first thing is, you know, we've got to put our trust in God and not put our trust in ourselves and believe that he's in control. The second thing, like you mentioned, is we have to be guided by God. I like to tell people, don't ask God to control the circumstances in your life until you first ask him to control you. Yes. And so God wants to lead us through life and show us what to do.
What are the everyday practical things you suggest that we can do or think to cure worry, Kent?
I tell a story in the book about learning how to swim. And I remember when I was a child, I went down to a local pool and, you know, they held me up and I kicked my feet. And I thought, oh, this is easy. And then came the hard part, and that was learning how to float.
Yes.
And so the instructor took me and held me up on the water. He says, the water will hold you up. And as soon as he let go, I put my legs down. I started splashing, and I just couldn't learn to float. I tried to float. I tried for weeks to float, and then finally one day I just went limp, and I floated. And so learning to trust God is kind of like that. We surrender completely to him, just like we surrender to the water. He holds us up just like water holds us up when we trust him.
So can I paint two scenarios for you, and I get everything you say. First, how is it possible not to worry when things are going wrong in your life? Because they can seem very consuming at the time.
God gave his promises in his word that he would take care of us. And so really it comes down to the place where are we going to believe what God says? Because we're all going to go through difficulties. And I have found that when we call out to God in prayer, first we put our trust in God, then we can take the problems that we're going through and give them over to him. Until we trust him first, we can't cast our problems to him. When you cast a ball to somebody, you take the ball and you have to let go of it to put it in somebody else's hands. The Bible says to cast our cares upon him, so we have to let go of it and put it in his hands.
What about when I can't see that, experience it? We can only ever see the events in our lives as they unfold. We'll rarely get to see where they're going to end up, only when we look back in hindsight. So what about when we can't see what's happening?
We have to take a step of faith one step at a time, because sometimes when you're walking in the Christian life, you don't know what's going to happen the next day. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible says, you know, what is life? It's a vapor that appears a little while and it's gone, and so don't boast about tomorrow. We do need to plan for tomorrow because the Bible says that, but, you know, the Bible also says that the mind of the man plans his way and the Lord directs his steps. So he promises to direct our steps, and sometimes we just have to step one step at a time. I can think of times when I graduated from seminary, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. We had to get out of our apartment, and the only thing I knew to do was go to Kansas, which was hundreds of miles away, and plant a church. So we packed up our van. We drove there by faith. I had no job, no money, knew nobody there. And by faith, we started. Did you know I was pastor of that church for 18 years? We bought land, paid cash, built the building, paid cash for that. And the church is still growing, and they're actually building a new sanctuary. But when we first started, we had to take a step of faith.
So to the second scenario, what about a terminal cancer diagnosis? When there's no cute, easy answer, there's no good outcome, how is it possible not to be anxious in the middle of that?
The first thing is, the most important thing is a person's relationship with God, that a person has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and has received eternal life. Now, if you have that assurance, you know, the Bible says that we're all going to die one day anyway. We're all passing through here. Sometimes God will heal. I think we need to pray when somebody has cancer and say, Lord, I ask for your healing. I believe that we need to go to doctors and use wisdom. And I know a good friend of mine right now has cancer and just went through some surgery and is coming through that. But it really comes down to placing our soul in his hands. You know, Jesus said this. He says, do not fear him who can kill the body, but he can't kill your soul. And I read that and I thought, you mean even when somebody's holding a gun at me, he says, don't be afraid? That's what he said. And so, you know, we really do have to put our trust in God because, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's going through a different experience. But we can find that peace that surpasses all understanding by trusting him.
Your book has a range of inspiring stories about how all this has played out practically in the lives of people. What's one particular story that's impacted you most, Kent?
There's one, a friend of mine who is a pastor now, and he's traveled all over the world being in missions and other things. When God called him to go into the ministry, he was like me. He did not have any money to go into school. And he had two opportunities right before classes were to begin that summer. One was to be an associate pastor at a church, and the other was to work at a camp for a penny an hour. You know, it seemed like a no-brainer because he'd make more money by being at the church. But God led him to go to this camp and work there for almost nothing. And so he worked faithfully at this camp all summer. The camp was almost over. He couldn't understand why God had failed him. And he went down to the camp lake and he said, God, I don't understand. You called me to go to seminary. I don't have any money to go. This is your problem, God. And then he heard somebody behind him. He turned around. There's an elderly lady there. And he had never met her before, and they began talking. And she said, you want to go to such and such seminary? I have some friends that are endowing a scholarship there.
Wow.
Give me your name.
Wow.
And she ended up putting his name into these people, and he had his entire 3 years in seminary paid for, plus they gave him a monthly stipend so he didn't have to work. So here's an example of a person who followed what God told him to do, and he didn't understand how God would do it, but God came through miraculously and paid for over 3 years of a seminary training.
That is an amazing story, among many, in The Sure Cure for Worry, Learning to Trust God No Matter What Happens. The author is Kent Crockett, founder of Making Life Count Ministries. Kent, where can people go for that particular organization, Making Life Count, what it's all about?
Yeah, they can go to makinglifecount.net. I have a lot of Bible studies on there, a lot of information I think people enjoy. Also, my books are on there if they want to take a look at those as well.
Kent Crockett, thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.